evening. As the pastor said, my name is Jason Holt, and my wife's name's Lori, and we have three children, Katie, Joshua, and Andrew, and we've been serving in the country of Chile. We left for South America back in 2003 and been there in a Spanish-speaking country, started the first church in 2005, Iglesia Bautista Fe, Faith Baptist Church, there in the city of Santiago, Chile. Santiago is a city that has about 7 million people, all squeezed into a circle about 25 miles wide, and there's a lot of people in a small area. If you walk out of the front doors of any of the churches that we've had the opportunity to start, within just about a 15-minute walk in each direction, there's about 50,000 people. So people just squeezed in everywhere, which is a great opportunity to reach people with the gospel. The majority of the people there, they're basically trusting in what Jesus did plus what they can do. And so the average person would say, yeah, I believe in the Bible, I believe in the cross, and I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe he died for our sins. And we think, oh, good. But they also believe that what he did is not sufficient to forgive our sins. And we've got to be good people and be baptized as babies and go through all the sacraments. And if you do everything well and you pray enough and you give enough and you do enough good deeds, then there might be a possibility that you go to heaven when you die. But we know the Bible teaches us that we're saved by faith. But it's the grace of God. It's not anything that we can do. It's all about what Jesus did when he gave his life on the cross. Amen. And that's the message that we're preaching there in Chile. Well, that first church started back in 2005. We started with a lady and her two children. And that small group began to grow, I guess, within about a couple of years. We had about 100 people coming there to the church. As people were saved and God was changing lives, and we were excited about that. But our goal from the beginning was not to go to Chile and pastor a church. Our goal was to go and to train men to go out and start other churches. And we were praying, God, call some men to preach, call them to the ministry, give us the opportunity to help train them and send them out to go start other churches. 2008, we had three men surrender to preach, and we began to train them, prepare them for the ministry. A couple of years later, we started two more churches, and God was blessing, and we had some young men being called to the ministry out of all the churches. And God's just blessed in these last years. We saw in 2018, just last year, we had about 50 young men and women studying for the ministry, preparing for the ministry at the Bible college that we started, and just excited to see what God's doing. The 10th church was started there in the team, in the ministry there, back about 3 months ago, and God's really opening up a great door of opportunity there in Chile to reach more with the gospel, to train more men and women for the ministry, to send them out, to see more churches started, and to help reach that country with the gospel. And so we're back now on our first year-long furlough. Our boys were both born in Chile. Katie, she was 28 days old when we left for the field. And so the kids, they've all grown up there in South America. For them, walking out the front doors of the house and hopping on the city bus and taking the bus to the subway and the subway to church, it's just a normal activity, a normal kind of thing that you do in a big city, everything in Spanish. For them, the U.S. is where their parents are from and where we visit every now and then. And Chile's normal. That's life. That's what everything that they've known and grown up with. And so we're taking advantage of this opportunity on furlough for them to be back at our home church, to be a part of the church group and participate in different things with the teenagers. And they're enjoying that and helping them to become a bit more accustomed to the United States. And I'm traveling and presenting the ministry because as God's blessing, one of the things that we're really striving to do is to partner with these young guys that are going out to start churches. So we can work along their side over about a 2 to 3 year period where we help them financially at the beginning and then start winging that off over about a 30-month period, 2.5 years. And as we wing that off, we can then use that support to help the next guy go start a church. And the local church that's been planted can assume those responsibilities and pay their own bills there in the church and keep rolling while we go out and help another guy get off the ground. And so that's what we're praying that God will allow us to do. There's four men that are waiting to start a church, God willing, next year when we get back to Chile. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. We have one of the men that's gone to the northern part of the country. If you know much about geography, Chile's that long, narrow, skinny country there in South America. and we're kind of right in the middle. And so one of our guys is now pastoring a church up in the north, and we've got a young man that's been with us for quite a few years that next year is looking to go to the south to start planting churches. And so we're excited not only to be there in the capital city, but to be branching out, trying to really reach the country, and from that country out in other parts of Latin America. One of the guys that studied with us and prepared for the ministry is leaving this year to go to Ecuador as a missionary. And so we're excited about what the Lord's doing in his life as well. And so get one of our prayer cards and pray for Chile. Pray for Chile. Whenever you walk outside and you say, man, it's a chilly day today, you can think, huh, I need to pray for those missionaries in Chile. Today is the first day that you might not say that. The first day that it's been warm in a while. But I haven't seen the news forecast, but I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be chilly here pretty soon. Or next time you're eating a bowl of chili, you can remember, hey, there's some missionaries in Chile. And let's pray for them and pray for the ministry and all that God is doing there. We are excited and thankful, and the truth is, all the churches that have been started and the souls that have been saved and everything that's been done has been 100% by God's grace, and we praise the Lord for that. When you talk about the hero of missions and the work of missions around the world, it's not the missionary. The hero is Jesus. He's the one that's changing lives and opening the door to the gospel and doing the work for his glory. And we just have the wonderful privilege to be a small part of what the Lord's doing. So pray for us. We need your prayers. Get one of our prayer cards so you can remember to pray for us. And if you want to get an update every now and then about what the Lord's doing, you can sign up, get an email. We'll try to keep you up to date there. Romans chapter number 4. I want to invite you to go with me in the Word of God to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 4. And I want to look in the Bible tonight and pray that God would encourage us about having a biblical faith. A biblical faith. Trusting God. Trusting God with our whole hearts and following after Him. And I think we find an example here of the man named Abraham. And the New Testament is looking back and is talking about Abraham and talking about the faith that he had in God and the way he trusted God. And I think that there's some lessons that we can learn and pray God will work in our hearts about that. Let's pray and then we'll get into the reading of his word. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be together here in your house this evening. We thank you for this church and thank you for their love for missions that we've already heard this evening about the missions that they're supporting in different parts of the world and how encouraging it is to know that there's churches that love you and love missions and are sticking with the stuff. And I pray, God, that you would bless this evening. Help us to focus in now on this passage of Scripture. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us to follow you wholeheartedly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 4, verse number 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glorify, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now remember the context of the book of Romans, it's talking about salvation in the first part of this book. Who we are without Christ, we're sinners and we have no hope. And chapter number 1 talks about all those that turn their back on the Creator and started worshiping creation and all that came because of that, the consequences of their sin. Chapter number 3 that teaches us that there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. And here in chapter number 4, it's a chapter that talks about how Abraham, he wasn't saved by his works. He was saved by his faith because he believed God. He believed God. Look what the Bible says. We're going to skip a little bit for time's sake. But in verse number 18, talking about Abraham here, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Here the Bible talks about Abraham. He believed God. God came to him back in Genesis chapter number 12. And he gave him that promise that he would have that land and he would have a family and he would have a blessing and everyone that blessed him would be blessed and everyone that cursed him would be cursed. And Abraham, who had no children and had no property, stepped out by faith and trusted God. And the Bible says that in verse number 18, look at that phrase there with me, the first one, who against hope believed in hope. Against hope, believed in hope. What kind of faith is a biblical faith? Well, a biblical faith is a faith that believes even when it seems impossible. Even when it seems impossible. How many times in our life have we been sitting in circumstances where we thought, this is impossible. There's no way that this could possibly work out. The preacher was just telling me before the service started a little bit about the property where we're sitting here tonight and how God just worked in an amazing way and how he got together with the men and said, all right, well, we got a certain amount of time and we've got to figure out what we can do and what can we do? Well, there's not an opportunity. There's not an open door. There's not a way. I don't know how this could work. And so we've just got to look for another opportunity, another place and another spot to rent or to borrow or to use. And what did God do? God did the impossible. I remember just about 2 years ago, we were there in Chile, and by then, I guess about 7 of the churches had already been started, and there were men that were being trained for the ministry, and we were excited about what God was doing. We were meeting in the back Sunday school classrooms of the first church that we started, and the classrooms weren't that big, and God was blessing, and more people were giving their lives to be trained for the ministry, and we were praying, God, we need a larger place. We need a larger piece of land, a larger property to train people for the ministry. And you're blessing, and we're praying about not just starting a handful of churches, but if you will allow us to start dozens of churches here in the capital city and throughout the country. But we need a place to do this. And we were having 16 hours of classes a week, and those guys were going out and getting experience in the ministry during the evenings and on the weekend. And we began to pray. God, we need a piece of property that will be about the size of the first church that we started there in Chile is what we were praying for, which that property is just a little over a tenth of an acre. But you got to imagine in the middle of this big mega city, a tenth of an acre is a lot of land. We can do a lot of stuff with a tenth of an acre. We had a small parking lot and a church that was running well over 100 people and multiple classrooms and the pastor's parsonage there on the property. We could squeeze a lot into a small space in Latin America. We were praying for something about that size. Praying God will give us 4 classrooms that we could use to teach and train. Maybe they could hold up to 30 people each as time grows and things go by. We were praying, God, we need not only this, but it to be in a central location in the city. Something that would be close to, and we prayed about 4 different subway stops specifically. Something within about a mile walk at the most of those. We were praying that, Lord, this sized property in that area could cost up to $500,000. And there's no way that we could ever do that. Would it be possible to maybe find something for half the price of what the market value would be? You know, if you're going to pray, you might as well pray big, right? We begin to pray and ask the Lord and really thinking this is almost impossible to find something like this. But praying. A friend of mine sent me an email with a link to a piece of property that was for sale. And I looked at it and it was a small school that had closed down. The school was about twice the size of the property that we needed, that we were praying about. It had 4 classrooms already built on the property. And we were praying, God, would this possibly be something that you're working, you're opening up the door? They were asking about $300,000, which was way under the market value for that piece of property. And we decided we're going to call the real estate agent and go over and check this out. And we got there and began to talk to her and looking around. And it happened to be about a mile walk from 2 of the subway stops, kind of in an angle from the 2. We thought, man, this is checking off all the boxes, a little bit high on the price. But would it be possible that God would do something? Hoping against hope. Here Abraham, he believed God and trusted God, and we had prayed, and here we were, and the real estate agent said, well, how much money do you all have to offer? And we said, well, we don't have any money. We're just here looking and praying. And she was like, why did you even call me? Why are we here if you don't have money? She said there were 27 owners of the property, and they would all have to be in agreement in order to sell it. But because of the zoning, it was zoned for exclusively school, educational or religious usage, that not many people were looking to buy it. So the price had really dropped down. And we said, what if we could give you, I don't know, maybe $250,000 total, but a third in a month and then another third in 6 more months and the last third 6 months later. What do you think about that? And she walked away saying, well, that sounds kind of like a crazy plan, and the people want cash, and I don't think that's going to work, but, you know, I'll throw it out there. A week later, we were sitting in a lawyer's office and signing a contract and signing three blank checks for about $85,000 each. Well, they weren't blank checks. They were post-dated checks for about $85,000 and sliding that across the table. And then we walked out of the room and said, oh, God, we've got 30 days and we need $85,000. And began to pray that God would. But, you know, we read in the Word of God story after story of these incredible roadblocks and obstacles and problems and how God came through time after time in miraculous ways and showed Himself powerful, showed Himself great, and showed Himself worthy to be trusted. Amen? And we find that story after story as we go through the book of Genesis and Exodus and Moses and all the plagues and bringing the children of Israel across the Red Sea and trusting the Lord as they went toward the promised land. And then their faith, it waned a bit and they ended up 40 years there in the wilderness. And then Joshua comes and leads them in and miracle after miracle from the walls of Jericho and crossing the Jordan. And man, we can just see time after time. David fighting Goliath, and how many miracles of things that God did the impossible. We come to the New Testament, we see the Son of God in flesh walking there in the Holy Land, and people were healed and miracles were performed, and He walked on water and calmed the sea and the storm. Just time after time, the Scriptures record points in time in history of how the impossible was done for God's glory. And here we see that biblical faith hopes even when things seem quite hopeless. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. The Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. We see that biblical faith not only hopes, but biblical faith doesn't consider the circumstances. Doesn't consider the circumstances. Abraham, he looked at his body. And it's interesting how the Bible says that his faith, in verse number 19, was not weak as he considered his body. The body was trembling, no doubt, from age. You can imagine someone about 100 years of age. How do they walk? You know, I consider myself back when I went to the field to be the young missionary. And I've always thought of our family as, you know, we're the young missionaries. But now I'm back on this furlough and I'm thinking, there's guys that I've already met people on deputation that were born after I graduated high school. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I'm the young missionary anymore. There's guys a lot younger than me. I'm more like the middle-aged missionary now. Go. Get into that middle-aged gear of thinking. But I know how my body is now compared to the way it was 20 years ago. It doesn't bounce back as quickly. It's sore a little bit longer. If a fall or something like that causes an injury that lasts for quite a bit longer than when I was a teenager and a young man just getting started out. 100 years old. What's the body of an average 100-year-old person? I mean, if they're still alive, it's wonderful. Amen. If they can walk around, man, that's incredible. And here you see Abraham, his body was weak, but his faith wasn't weak. His knees might have been shaken, but his faith wasn't. His voice might have quivered a bit, but his faith didn't quiver at all. Because he trusted in the true and living God. He didn't look at his circumstances. But he looked at what God could do. Just a few months ago, well, I guess it was early last year, almost a year ago now, a guy named Jose walked in the church there that we started about 3 years ago in Chile, Iglesia Bautista Libertad. And we started the church with one of the young men from the first church that we started. And we started Liberty Baptist Church, and Jose came in just about a year ago now. Came in with his three teenage children and his wife, and he told me the very first Sunday, he said, I don't really need any help because I'm a good man, which a red flag went up right then. But he said, my teenagers, they need some help, and I want you to help them. And I thought, all right, well, we'll try to help them, but we're going to try to help you too, buddy. You might not know it, but we're going to go after you too with the gospel. And I remember trying to share the gospel with Jose, and he was closed. He would show up about 10 minutes late, and he would leave as soon as the service was over with. And we were praying for old Jose and praying God would do a work in his heart. And his children ended up getting saved one by one. His wife even put her faith in Christ. And we were excited to see the family changing. But Jose, he could never get past that first part whenever we'd start sharing the gospel with him, that part that says, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Because he'd say, I'm not really a sinner. I'm a good guy. I'm not perfect, but I'm almost perfect. And I'm not a sinner. Jose's profession, he used plaster to make statues. Not just any statues, they were idols. The statues that were sold in the community, and people would buy them and set them up in their house or set them at their job, and they would light candles to those statues and pray to those statues. And Jose was spending his week building, making, and selling statues and thinking that was giving him some kind of special favor with God. We began to preach, and we had missions conference come around about 3 or 4 months after he was there. His family had been saved by then. And we have missions and support missionaries there in South America, different Latin American guys that are starting churches, usually in Latin America, but we're supporting different ones. And Jose comes to me at the end of the conference, and he says, they call me Pastor Jason, Pastor Jason. He says, Pastor, I want to know, how can I get involved in this special missions offering that you're doing? You got these envelopes and you're talking about faith promise and stepping out and supporting. He said, this church has helped my family so much, and I want to help other churches like this church be started. And don't forget, he's still an unbeliever. He's still an idol maker. And he's saying, I want to make idols, sell idols, and use part of that money to help missionaries go around South America planting churches. And I'm thinking, oh man, these are the crazy kind of things that happen when you're on the mission field. We kept praying for Jose, and just about a few, I don't know, 2 months before we came back on this furlough, on a Sunday morning, he put his faith in Jesus, bowed his head, realized he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and was saved by God's grace. You know, you can put your eyes in the circumstances and think, man, there's no way some of my friends or my family or this guy down the street or this person I know in town, there's no way they can get saved. And they're as hard and as far away from the Lord, and they don't care, and they'll argue with you, and they won't give you, you know, the time to even hear the gospel. But there is nothing impossible for God. And here, Abraham gives us such a great example of a biblical faith that hoped against hope because he was trusting in God, a biblical faith that didn't consider the circumstances, but trusted God. Back in 2011-12, there was a young man in Chile named Mirko. Mirko was a typical college student there in Chile, involved in alcohol, involved in drugs. Had a girlfriend, and during that relationship, she ended up expecting a child out of wedlock, and the child was born. They ended up naming the child after the lead singer of a popular rock and roll band. Mirko was in a rock and roll band, and just living a life far from the Lord. Mirko's mom heard the gospel, though, and got saved. And she began to pray for Mirko and pray that God would do a work in Mirko's heart. And she was praying and trying to share the gospel with him. And he was there fighting and losing his life in sin and just becoming more and more destroyed and far from the Lord. And she kept praying for him. And one day what happened? Well, Mirko's girlfriend ended up getting saved. And just a couple of months after that, Mirko got saved. And they decided, we need to get married. And they got married and began to grow in the Lord. And I had the opportunity to be serving as the pastor there at the church that they were attending there in Chile. And they were raising their son differently than the way Mirko was raised. Mirko was far from the Lord. And now they're raising their little son at church and involved in different activities and classes and learning Bible verses. And just a few months before we came back on this furlough, I had the privilege of seeing Mirko stand in front of the church and baptize his young son, now 7 years of age, that has put his faith in Jesus, and a son that will be raised a totally different way because now the gospel has radically changed that family. And Mirko is a second year student there at the training center and preparing and looking forward to start a church somewhere in Chile because there's so many broken lives that need the gospel. And God's doing such an amazing work through his life. And we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do through that young family that's growing and serving the Lord and leading people to the Lord. It's just an exciting thing to see. But here, Abraham, he lived by faith. He didn't look at the circumstances. He knew we have a mighty God, and that God can change lives and turn upside down lives and take these destroyed by sin situations and make something beautiful for his glory by his grace. What a wonderful thing. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving God, a good God that we serve. And Abraham, he believed God. Now look what the Bible says in verse number 20, because I think this might be the key to the passage that we're reading tonight. The Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had, look what the Bible says there, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We see the Bible talks about in verse number 18, and then again in verse number 20, and in verse number 21, it's talking about the promise of God. The promise of God. What God has spoken. What he has said. And you know the truth, if you haven't paid attention or you haven't listened to anything up to this point, make sure and pay attention here. Biblical faith is based on the promises of God. You know, I could go out here tonight and say, I'm going to jump off this building and just take off flying and fly back to Atlanta. I'm just going to spread my wings and fly. What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to jump off that building and I'm going to have a rough encounter, hopefully with the grass and not with the pavement, right? Because I do a belly flop right there on the yard. I'm not going to go very far. Why? Because that's not faith. That's a blind faith or a faith in nothing, a faith that goes against truth because truth is gravity, right? And that's going to bring me down every time. But biblical faith is when we read God's word and we understand what God wants and we understand what God says and we base our faith on what God says. And when God's word says it and we believe it and we follow it and we obey it, man, our faith can stand strong. Knowing what God has told us in his word. We think about missions and reaching other people with the gospel. Even Jesus told us there in the Great Commission at the end of the book of Matthew. He said that he was going to be with us the whole time, right? He's saying go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize, teach all these things. And I'm going to be with you. I'm there with you. There's a promise that you can take to the bank. Because I will be with you wherever you go. And what an encouraging thing it is for us to think about. He's with us. And we trust him and we obey him. And that's one promise of so many promises. The Bible talks about in John 10 that we're in the hand of the Father and we're in the hand of the Son. And the Bible talks about in Ephesians that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It talks about how we have eternal life and we will not come unto punishment or destruction. We have been forgiven. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to know the eternal salvation that we have. There's a promise from God's word. You know, as we think about, we were talking earlier with a few of the families that arrived earlier about how long everybody's been married. So I think we got 2 years and 2 months over here and over here 12 years and I don't know how many months. And I don't know how long the pastor's been married. I would imagine maybe a few more than 2 years he's been married. It's never good to put guests, so I'm not going to do that. I've been married 17 years, going on 18 years this year. And, you know, you think about how's a marriage supposed to be run? And today there's so many people talking about all these different crazy ideas about what a husband's supposed to do or what a wife's supposed to do or why it's not even necessary to get married. And even the marriage between a man and a woman is up for debate in some areas. But how do we know how things are supposed to work? Well, we go to God's word and we believe God's word and we live according to God's word and the principles that the Bible gives us about how we should conduct ourselves inside of the family. And we can not have a faith that staggers, but have a faith that's strong when that faith is based on God's Word. It's based on God's Word. As a young man, I felt God was calling me to preach, took a step of faith, and knew He was leading me to the mission field. The worst class I had in high school was Spanish. I thought, there's no way I can learn another language. There's no way I can speak to others in something. This doesn't even make sense. I don't even know why I'm learning this language. I don't know if any of you went through that same process when you were in your foreign language class in school, but that's what I was thinking. And then a year or two out of high school, God's putting this burden on my heart to go to South America. And I thought, there's no way. How can I, from a small town suburb of Atlanta that can't speak another language and, you know, from the South, and I go to another country, learn another culture, learn another language, work with people, start churches, train people, start other churches and send them out. There's no way this thing, you know, God, the need. Okay, we understand that. But then when you get me in the middle, that just messes everything up. Right. So how are we going to reach this place with the gospel? The stepping out by faith and trust in the Lord, and knowing this isn't about me, this is about You. And it's not by my strength or by my knowledge or by what I can offer, but it's the Lord that does the work, and we trust Him, and we water and we plant, and He gives the increase, and we just move forward day by day, month by month, step by step, reaching more people with the gospel and helping more churches get started, and trusting the Lord that He's going to give the provision, and He's going to open up the doors, and He's going to meet all the needs all the way. Amen. And here you are here today at the church. You might be thinking, all right, this missionary is here and he's all excited and talking about faith, but how does that apply to my life? Well, God's got a plan for your life just like He does for everyone else. And the promises of God's Word, there's nowhere that it says, well, this is for Abraham, for the pastor, and for missionaries. No. It's for the children of God. And if you put your faith in Him, then you've got the same Heavenly Father as we have, and He's the same one that will lead and will give wisdom and will open doors. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life, because the easy life is promised in heaven, right? We have a place of eternal rest. But in the meantime, we're called to be soldiers. We're in a warfare, and we're representing Him in this earth. But what a wonderful thing it is to trust Him and take steps of faith. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what you're living through and what's going on in your life or at your church or in your family, but we have a God that we can trust. And we have a God that we can say the same thing as Abraham said in verse number 21, that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And I just want to trust God. And I want to leave this evening thinking, you know, Lord, You deserve to be trusted. And Your Word is just as strong today as it was back in the time of Abraham. And I just want to trust You and take steps of faith and keep moving on and not put my eyes on the circumstances, but like Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. It's easy to look at the circumstances and think, man, we're in a mess. I don't know how this is going to work. But we don't look at the circumstances. We look unto Jesus. And tonight I want to remind you of that. Maybe it's the time you ought to find a place to pray and say, Lord, help me to put my eyes on You. Help me to trust You. Help me, even though my body might be weary and although the circumstances might be difficult and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I know what Your Word says and I'm going to trust You and I'm going to move forward. Let's pray together.